Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold. Reminder, coming up 1 hour from now, we'll head out to Arrowhead. You'll hear from Andy Reid. It's the only place you'll hear from the head coach here on a Monday, your official broadcast partner for the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. Get some more thoughts on what Andy saw from that win against Washington. And it's a Monday. I doubt we'll get any insight on the injury status for some guys, but it'll be interesting to see hear from Andy what he thought more about the defense after having a chance to see some more film. And I'm sure he'll be asked about Niang not playing right tackle a little bit more and having Mike Rimmers play right tackle and what he saw, that dynamic, and potentially what that could mean for their jobs going forward. There's also the fire we saw from this defense from one player in particular. It was Tyrann Mathieu. It was clear as day. He was emotional. He was fired up, yelling on the sideline, was showing on the field as well his emotions. You saw on the sideline in particular that at one point in time, Spags even came over to him to try to, you know, calm him down to a certain extent. Yep. And I thought it spoke pretty loudly about how he was playing that day, too. Not that Tyrann Mathieu had been playing poorly, but just he was way more involved near the line of scrimmage, it felt like. And whether that's because of some personnel changes or what, but it felt like, and maybe it was just how they were playing Washington and they weren't afraid of their ability to throw the ball down the field. Maybe that was it. But Tyrann Mathieu was way more involved in tackles and run stops. He just was all over the place. I felt like after a few weeks where it seemed teams were avoiding Tyrann Mathieu, like, we're not going to let you.
He didn't let him avoid.
We're not going to let you make plays. Yeah, it felt like they said enough of that. We're gonna put him in spots where he's going to go up even in rundowns and make plays. I felt like his energy, his emotion was as good as it's been all year, and it correlated to this defense playing a little bit better. I think it plays a role in that. Absolutely,
it stands out for him yesterday because he was both on field and honestly on social media after the game.
yeah.
Talking about how he thinks they have a championship defense, talking about how they can be that again, taking offense to a lot of the things people have been saying, both about himself and the Chiefs defense during this run.
Yeah.
This was him after the game in that moment when he was screaming on the sidelines. You're talking about when Spags went to go calm him down. What was it that made him so mad?
It was third and long. I think it doesn't matter what play the coach calls. I think as players, you have to execute. And, you know, obviously you have to have formation recognition. You know, you just have to be, you know, sense of urgency. I felt like that was a play that, you know, the whole defense took off, if that makes sense. But obviously, you know, coach is going to call the game. And as players, we have to make it right.
And I think that he's a good barometer on where the defense is. Like when they say that enough's enough stuff, like Tyrann Mathieu has been frustrated. He's been sticking his arms up in the air during the games when some of these deep passes have been completed. And I don't know if that's just like trying to call out Sorensen. Is it just like, I'm frustrated.
Natural frustration.
And
sure.
Yesterday in the game, he was like, this is enough. I'm sick of this nonsense. We're playing bad. And that's annoying enough to the point that I have to yell at all of you now. And if you think, if any way in your brain, you're like, well, I don't know if the team's going to respond to that. Look at how they performed in that game. And listen to Tyrann Mathieu's own words about how he thinks the team responds when he does those things.
I mean, they love it when I go crazy. I don't know why, but they love it. My coaches like it. But I mean, obviously, as a player, you try to grow in this league and you try to continue to get better and keep a big picture perspective. But, you know, obviously, I felt like we put in a lot of good work this week. And I thought the goal was to hold those guys to 10 points or under. So I think anytime you don't reach your goals, yeah, it kind of pissed me off a little bit.
You can tell that when he continues to be, the one thing about we're talking about his contract eventually is, who's the voice of the defense when he's gone? Exactly. Because he's clearly the voice. There's no doubting that when we watch the game, we watch his reaction, and we see how he reacts, even on Twitter after. He is the voice, yeah, the public and the private voice of the entire defense.
We understand what the dynamic is. Patrick Mahomes, you take care of the offense. Tyrann Mathieu, you're the guy that's supposed to take care of the defense from what you're discussing there and talking about, Cody, about being the leader and the energy and everything on that side. That's what Tyrann Mathieu, part of the reason why he was brought in a couple years ago as well. Not only is he one of the better safeties in football, but he's that leader, emotional leader, clearly. And so, yeah, I mean, if you see someone on the sideline upset and having that kind of energy, it would be very difficult, I would imagine, as a teammate to not try to up your game. Right, when you see one of your teammates, clearly a leader, one of your better players on defense, and right now with Chris Jones on the field, he is your best player on defense. Tyrann Mathieu is, and has been that way. I mean, how do you not try to up your game when you see someone as vocal as that? And I think that's where it does help correlate. It doesn't mean that you can just do that and suddenly the defense is going to be great. But when you feel like there's avoidable mistakes, and you see you got to make sure you're doing everything possible to put your defense in a right spot. Yeah, I think I would imagine that does bode pretty well for them overall. I was listening to Kling this morning. Josh Klingler, of course, was on the sideline there in D.C. over the weekend, and he referenced that scene, not only with Spags coming over, but he was like, hey, nobody went near Tyrann Mathieu, Kling said. He's like, everybody was going to let him blow off the steam until he was done, till the fuse was over with. And I thought that was an interesting way that Kling put it. Is like, they know, just let him do his thing. Let him have his outburst, if you will. I don't mean that in a negative way, but like, let him do that, and then no, he'll be ready to roll and refocus in. And sure enough, the defense played really, really good yesterday against an opponent that they should play good against.
People tend to have more questions than him social media-wise on the stuff. On the field, nobody's ever questioned it. Like, do you need to leave so many bodies behind on social media?
That's why they call him the Honey Badger, man.
I don't have a problem with it either. You know that if you type the name Tyrann or Mathieu into Twitter, when you're sending something about the game, or it's about him and somebody, you know, snitch tweets you, there's a likely response coming from Tyrann. You have accepted your fate if you decide to tweet about Mathieu on Twitter.
Yeah, I think it's tremendous.
You know that it could come back.
I actually think it's refreshing because so many times they're afraid to tweet stuff out. Now he'll delete some as well, right? We've seen.
Oh, he said that. He's openly admitted that. That's not a secret.
That's who he's always been, which is, I think, again, that all goes. That's the complete package. Like, that's what makes him what he is on the football field too. Like, he's an emotional guy. He does not hide anything. He goes and he's going 100 miles an hour constantly and is emotional and all that.
What's
so
weird is that he deleted the one that said he fractured his thumb, which feels important.
Yeah, that's something.
I feel like it'd be important
week
to know if Tyrann Mathieu has a fractured thumb.
You saw him grab his hand, and he never missed a snap, I don't believe. He played the rest of the game. And I would expect, we don't know it to be true, but
he probably just played with the club.
Correct. And especially at the safety spot. Like, it can impact your tackling, and obviously if an interception comes his way, it's going to be very difficult to catch the ball. But he's going to play with that. But yeah, that was not an injury that was referenced by Andy after the game. So we'll see if all of a sudden that pops up on the injury report this week or something.
Well, you don't want to get fined from the NFL. If the player's saying he has a fractured thumb and you don't report it.
He tweeted it. He said he had fractured thumb and he couldn't move or feel his right arm or something.
Yeah.
So, and that tweet was deleted, but something to keep an eye on.
He just deletes tweets all the time.
Sure.
I love it when athletes, you know, get ahead of the curve on tweeting out injuries, because, you know, like, the Chiefs are like, hey, man, I don't know if you've noticed how we do it business, but like, we don't really like divulge that sort of information.
We never tell anybody anything.
And you're just like telling everybody, like, hey, if you want to call some dude an MF-er, that's fine, but please do not tell people that you broke your hand.
That's the one. That's where we draw the line.
Names.
I just felt like he was way more involved in this game, and maybe that was personnel wise, and maybe that was what some of the changes allowed them to do. But it was much needed from him and from this entire defense what we saw.
This had been building for weeks. He's been talking about how frustrated they are on defense, how they are on Twitter, right? How they've been ignoring him, they're going away from him, they're not giving him a chance to be a part of the game, and the Chiefs, honestly, not even conspiratorial, I wouldn't even be surprised to find out that he and Spags decided, like, all right, like you said, he's playing more than line scrimmage. Put me somewhere that they can't ignore me. Like, if I'm essentially playing fourth linebacker and I'm that close to the line of scrimmage, they can't run away from me. They cannot avoid me on defense anymore. I get to be a part of the action no matter what they say. Let's dictate that I'm a part of the defense. Because the defense had performed so poorly to that point, Gold, there was no point to ever throw near Tyrann Mathieu. Why would you? When there were other guys to pick on. plenty of other guys to pick on that did not include him. Like, to me, that, like, the blow up on the sideline, though, like, that's, I think, what you said in the open, Nick. That's one of those moments you might go back on and be like, okay, that's when he was just like, you idiots. You're costing. And I know that he's not saying that, like, he's supporting his teammates. There's a point of, like, stop screwing up because everyone blew on that play. Everyone blew it on that play.
It's pretty simple, right? Like, he's one of the best players in the NFL surrounded by underwhelming talent. How would that feel if in any line of work, if that was your reality? Like, I'm great. You all suck.
I'm afraid to answer that question. That's...
Well, I mean, for a half second, man, I mean, for a half second, I was waiting to, I don't know if Nick was, I was going to pull out a thesaurus. I didn't know we were just having to use, instead of things, we had to pull out big words here. Conspiratorial or whatever? Like, wow, I almost stopped you in your tracks of that. I guess we are not, Cody's got the thesaurus nearby.
Bringing out the big words today,
Cody's
fellas.
Cody's got the thesaurus on a red Chiefs Monday.
Win? That's worthy of the multiple syllables.
Have you had your outburst yet? Do you think the performance needs to be upped? Have you had your outburst?
I really am. Like, it's going to need to build up a little
bit.
But
I don't think an outburst would inspire Alex and I. I think it would annoy us more than anything else. Like,
I think you would be legitimately confused. Having known me this long, wouldn't you be confused if I just, like, lost my mind over something?
Yeah, I think so.
I would laugh 100%.
We wouldn't be able to take you seriously is what it is. We'd be like,
why? I can get mad.
I know, but we would just,
can you?
At some point we would just start laughing.
What's it look like?
At some point we would start laughing.
What do you mean? Like Tyrann Mathieu level mad? I'm not sure if I've got that in me.
Because usually when you get animated, your voice gets a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Which isn't the most... Like, it doesn't necessarily strike fear into the hearts of the people around
I'm supposed
you.
To, like, dip my voice lower just to yell at people?
A little baritone wouldn't kill you, bud.
Yeah, all right. Noted.
That also is some advice he's giving you for future songs, I think, is what he was hinting at. Yeah. I think that was really, he was trying to sneak that in.
I was working on some lyrics for a song about the defense, but that didn't happen this week.
That's all you need to know about this defensive performance.
That's on hold.
The performance was that good that Cody's put on hold his next release of the song. I mean, that's all we need to know about how the defense performed on Sunday.
You are now pushing back release dates.
That's impressive.
In fairness, they made me do that.
Okay.
They played well enough on defense that they made me do that.
What about this running game? No Clyde. He's on the IR, we know. Daryl Williams, who joined us last week on the show, certainly was going to be the starter. We didn't know how much Jerick McKinnon would be involved, and the answer is really not all that much. 21 carries for Daryl Williams, 62 yards, 2 touchdowns. So yards per carry average isn't great, but the offensive line was really effective, and it seemed like Daryl Williams, because he is who he is, he knows who he is, he's more of a guy that's just going to run straight north and south. Like, he's not going to mess, he's going to just hit the hole and go. That seemed to be very effective because that's his running style. Versus Clyde, you're going to see him dance a little bit more. He's tried to get better at it, but I thought
he's trying to find his running style still.
Near the goal line, Daryl Williams was effective because he's just going to get a little bit of a gap and he's just going to go straight north and south. I don't think that he's a better running back than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but he was effective yesterday. That was a good positive sign. I think it's why Daryl Williams continues to be on this roster even when Clyde is there. They like the role that Daryl Williams can fill, and I think yesterday was as good as you could possibly ask for your backup running back and what you got from Daryl Williams. He was also involved a little bit in the passing game, had 3 catches, and one of them was actually kind of an impressive catch, as a matter of fact, and made some guys miss.
I know, but this does feel like another case of, like, blowing it out of proportion, because it... Like, I think somebody wants me to come on the air today and be like, they're better with Daryl Williams.
No, they're not. That's why I said Clyde's still the better running back.
It's not true.
Clyde's the better running back, but I was impressed with Daryl. It was nice to see. Again, a lot of it's the offensive line continuing to do its job.
I think you're actually right. I think Daryl is a little more confident in what his style is and that Clyde still has more room to grow to become a better running back. But I don't know, 21 carries for 60 yards.
It wasn't
and
really
touchdowns.
21. I mean, the last drive of the game, they were running the clock out. It was 17 carries.
17 carries for about 60 yards and 2 touchdowns. The key in all of this is Daryl's a better goal line back.
Sure.
Like, if you're going to take anything away from this, when you get down to the 2-yard line, there's no need to, like, baby Clyde Edwards-Helaire to try to get him in the end zone. Just let Daryl score it. That run, his touchdown run, when he waited for the entire offensive line to continue to get the push, cut back, incredibly patient, that was his second most impressive play of the day, next to what you said when he made some guys miss after making a good catch.
I mean,
like, that to me is like, okay, he's a better goal line runner. We've seen that out of teams before.
The numbers show
he was the better goal line runner near the goal line. They have not been doing that with Clyde. And if you're a fantasy owner of Clyde, I'm sure you hate it. But he's got to poach those touchdowns away from him. But as far as in the game goes, when Clyde's healthy, I'd rather him be the lead back.
Yeah, overall, this was not a game where they had this great rushing attack. It was effective when needed. They had rushed for far more yards the last couple of games. This is actually one of their lowest totals of the season. But look at, to your point about, you know, near the goal line, Daryl Williams has 15 rush attempts inside the 10. 7 touchdowns.
That's impressive.
Clyde has 18 career rushes inside the opponent's 10 and only has 1 touchdown. Different style of back, to your exact point about the goal
one
line.
One guy's a better goal line back. If you want to learn anything this game, learn that.
Yeah, Daryl Williams, you need a halfback dive or whatever. Like, you just basic, give me a yard, straightforward. That's the guy I want in there. But Clyde is still the better running back. I still maintain that.
It's a lot of that. It's like, if it's 4th and 1, who do you want carrying the ball? Daryl, right? I'll put him behind the offensive line. If it's 4th and goal from the 2, who do I want carrying the ball? Daryl.
Well, short of a 200 rushing yard game, like, was anything going to change our opinion on this, like, if we're going to call it a competition?
No, but I think largely you would say that this is probably the best game of Daryl Williams' career, but he's still a limited player. He has a skill set that makes sense for this team. But I still think people want you to come on the air today and say, like, Nick, I think they, like, oh, well, he's better. And I didn't see that in that game yesterday. Like, I can see why people want to jump to that observation. But this goes down to the things we've had before. It's expectation versus draft positional value. If they were both taken in the first round, you'd be having a different conversation.
Sure.
Neither of them's paid all that highly. Yeah, one guy was picked in the first round. But I still think Clyde, this is a good dynamic when they're both healthy.
What have we been saying for 2 weeks, right?
Chubb, but
that the Chiefs offense needs to sort of adapt and take what opposing defenses are giving them. And if yesterday proved anything, it was that they are comfortable turning around and handing the ball off 20 times if they need to.
Even if it's only going to net 65 yards. Like, that's the key.
But it's in the right spots. Again, the goal line twice gets you 2 touchdowns. I mean, that's the difference.
Yeah, some of those are it's 3rd and 1 and let's just get the first down and move on about our day. Like, you don't need Daryl to get 72 yards on that play. Daryl, get us the first down so we can just move on about our business. We don't care about your yards per carry at the end of the day. Can you get the yard or can you not get the yard? And I feel like yesterday he was really good at that.
Trash of the day.
Trash of the day is brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Just point and it is gone. We go down to Atlanta to a television station and there was an incident at a Waffle House.
This customer tells me it happened at this Waffle House in downtown Atlanta, all starting over cheese eggs. He tells me the incident has left him scrambled.
Of course. Boom. I should blow my brains out.
Candy Franklin says an argument with a waitress over food sizzled out of control early Wednesday morning.
I don't have no cheeses. They got my cheeses wrong. First, they didn't bring them to me. Then they brought me some normal eggs. I said, well, I had cheese on. You know, I tipped them and everything. And it all was just a normal dispute over food. I would never in a million years think that it would come to gun violence.
Franklin says it happened at the Marietta Street location in downtown Atlanta. He says a simple situation cracked out of control.
Like I said, I'm looking down at my food, trying to make sure it's right. I see people just running, you know. So that's when I look up, and she had the gun at me like this. Then I was like, you tripping. You ain't finna do nothing. And she cocked it back. So I'm like, well, maybe she is finna do something. Now it's time for me to turn the Rambo and try to get on the fire today.
Atlanta police confirmed they are investigating the incident.
I was fearing for my life because, like I said, I had been shot before, and I just lost a brother to gun violence. So all that went through my mind.
A representative from Waffle House told me they have received a customer complaint and have launched an investigation.
No more Waffle House for me at all.
As tensions boil, Franklin is glad things weren't worse.
They must got some good eggs and cheese now, you know. Yeah, never that serious, never.
And I asked Mr. Franklin, what does he want to come from the situation? He says he doesn't want to see anyone behind bars, but he does want this waitress to be held accountable for her actions and punished.
That reporter is my hero.
That reporter was Nick Short.
Scrambled, sizzled, cracked.
Yes, he used every pun possible.
I think he could have fit a few more in, honestly.
The best part of the entire story was she pointed the gun at me.
I didn't
believe
her.
You're not going to do anything. It's like, oh, maybe she was.
You know what?
Like, she cocked that gun in.
On second thought.
All because of cheese eggs?
Rewind.
Do you get cheese on your egg?
I'll put cheese in my egg sometimes.
Let's go straight scrambled. Scrambled, a little pepper on top. I'm happy. I'm good to go.
No, scrambled even with the cheese. You know,
I understand. I'm telling you what I get.
Have you ever had an omelet?
Yes, not a big fan.
What? Nice one. Objectively, the best way to eat.
What's your order at Waffle House?
Sunny side up is the best egg.
What's the order at Waffle House? Just give me the waffle, some hash browns, sometimes capped, but I don't do the smothered, and then some bacon, and then I'm happy.
It's been a little while. I don't dislike a good 2-egg breakfast, right? Eggs, toast, mm-hmm. bacon, hash browns. Like, I can get down.
Waffle House sounds pretty fantastic.
Feel like
hash browns so good.
Like that reporter could have fitted an over easy reference.
How would you?
It was going to be over easy.
I'm not trying to tell somebody else how to do their job, you know, because I respect somebody else who is a master of their craft, which he clearly is, but.
You thought like they could have worked in like a pun about the hash browns being smothered and capped, and you could have mentioned capped to the gun violence smart. Part.
He started really hot, and then he sort of petered off at the end.
Yeah, he did hit it hard in the beginning and then kind of let it go out to the, you know, he was talking about very serious things in the
he
report.
He did say tensions boiled over, and I wondered if...
he meant it there.
Okay.
Oh, that does feel like a kitchen reference. How are you not going to get him boiled over? You got to give him credit for
you
that.
You think that guy would like my Spotlight game previews?
Thanks for those on Friday, by the way.
Yeah, you weren't even
Grant
here.
Said he was under strict orders to play them, despite the fact we had
the
not.
The only thing Ray I, Lewis, only thing I about, told him. What?
The one about Ray Lewis. Like, what? Will Justin Herbert be charged? Like, will Justin Herbert be like Ray Lewis and be charged with murder? That was what you said.
Well, Ray Lewis did get charged with murder. That's
I know we were not expecting that on the previews last week.
Shocking.
I mean, people should remember that Ray Lewis did get charged with murder. And that was actually a little triple entendre there because I did, you know, charged the Chargers. You know, there's a lot going on there. I was proud of that one.
I figured that was one you've been working on for a while. Even with you not in studio that day, you found a way to bring it to the table. I can appreciate that. That is the trash of the day. Coming up next, the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Changes were evident on both sides of the ball, including one everyone had been begging for.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by E. Edwards Workwear, proud partner of Carhartt Clothing. We'll head out to Arrowhead in about 30 minutes and hear from Andy Reid right here on your official broadcast partner for the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. The only place on a Monday that you can hear from Andy Reid is right here during Cody and Gold on 610. The Chiefs made changes all over the field on Sunday. And one was one that everybody had been clamoring for, and that was a reversal between the roles that Juan Thornhill and Dan Sorensen would play. That did happen.
It was a direct reversal. A
complete reversal based on the snap count. You saw Rashad Fenton play more than Mike Hughes. We know Charvarius Ward is out. Rashad Fenton had some nice moments, actually, in the game against Washington. And then you saw Mike Rimmers. This was probably the biggest surprise. They kept it kind of quiet that Lucas Niang was dealing with some sort of hamstring issue. Mike Rimmers, who was actually pretty good at right tackle last year. It's just the lasting impression people had, unfortunately, for him was Super Bowl playing left tackle. Mike Rimmers as a right tackle was totally fine last year. And I thought he actually was pretty damn good in this game against the Washington football team. My question, I want to start there because to me that's the bigger issue, perhaps long term, not just this year. The other ones are more this year type of fixes. Long term, what happens at right tackle is very important. We know Niang's on a rookie contract. Was it more that Niang was hurt, or he was a little banged up and they weren't happy with his performance? So let's go to Mike Rimmers, who before Mike Rimmers got hurt during camp, he was going to probably be the right tackle. There was going to be a true camp battle. Rimmers came back with 2.5 weeks or so till the start of the season. By that point in time, Niang had secured the job. We knew going into the season, Niang was the weakest link, if you will, on that offensive line, just based off of where things have been at, and that continues to be true. I'm fascinated to see is it Rimmers' job now going forward, or no, it was mainly injury-related. We like what Rimmers did. We're going to give Niang a couple more chances, because I think long-term, it's not a good thing if they're already saying, nope, Niang, we're going to Rimmers the rest of the season, because that's a big problem long term. Has Niang played poorly at times? Yes. Has he been a disaster to me? No. So I'm hoping it's a little bit more of a combination of the injury and play, and like, hey, and they're going up against Chase Young, Montez Sweat. He's not healthy. He doesn't give him a chance to succeed. Let's put Rimmers there, and hopefully they go back to Niang, because long term, benching Niang the rest of the season is not good.
It means next year you have to find a right tackle.
Correct. So I would like I would like them to go back to Niang is what I'm saying here for another couple weeks to see if he can't continue to grow.
The problem is that because you have Super Bowl aspirations, it's not really about growing players right now. It's about winning.
Yeah, but has he been a disaster? And I don't think Niang has been a disaster right tackle.
He's been their worst offensive lineman.
Sure. On an offensive line that's actually performed pretty well interior wise.
Overall, yeah. They've allowed 10 sacks through 6 games. There's no real shame in that number. Mahomes, because he's limited some of those, you know, probably could have been a few more. They've run the ball pretty good during that time. It's been I haven't been like blown away with the offensive line. It's not like we come in here every day and be like, this is one of the most dominant offensive lines in the entire league.
They have their moments. They're in good. The run game. In the run game, there's some moments where you look at Creed.
Trey Smith and Creed in particular stand out occasionally.
And look, props to Tooney, who's playing with a fractured hand. I mean, it's just ridiculous that he's out there being as effective as he is.
And never had to call his name once.
Yeah.
It's what you want out of a left guard, man, to just never, ever, ever mention their name.
I think he had one holding call, maybe, or something.
Yeah, which is what we do with Tooney, which is hard, especially because he has a cast in his hand. Extra hard to do that during those. I think that the Rimmers one is the biggest concern for the long term, because if they stick with it, then we know that they are saying they have a problem at right tackle. Like, I know you could be like, no, they think he's going to grow, and we'll get there. I'm like, okay, but now you've burned an entire year of his availability at cheap at that position, which we're kind of counting on for the next 5 years. And right tackle is expensive. Super, super duper expensive. And if next year's draft is anywhere like this year's draft, they didn't feel like there were any tackles, let alone left tackles. They're like, there are no tackles in this group. They're all guards. So if that's the case, they've got a problem overall, because you don't really want to move guys that are working. You're not going to move Creed, obviously. And you're not going to move Trey Smith at this point to be like, well, you're so good there, what if you play tackle? I just don't see why they would make the change. The quiet one that should be discussed, because it's not a mystery, Thornhill for Sorensen worked for one game. Matter of fact, the only other quarter in which Thornhill played more than Sorensen this entire year, I looked it up, the only other quarter in which one Thornhill played more was the quarter last week where they only let up 7 points in an entire quarter. Or 2 weeks ago against Philly, when they played like a good quarter. That's the only quarter in which Sorensen played less than Juan Thornhill. So, small sample size may it be, I got 5 quarters of evidence, and they are a significantly better defense with Juan Thornhill, so I'd like to continue to see that trend play itself out. Quietly playing Fenton more than Hughes is really important, because Hughes isn't working, and they're having to guard themselves in the early going while Charvarius Ward can't play. And the truth is that if Fenton can play at this level when Ward comes back, they've got a mildly decent secondary. And Hughes is not a total failure. It's not even going as poorly as it is for Breland, because he did still play 80% of the snaps. But in effect, Hughes was benched.
11 more plays. He played in what, 11 more plays.
But effectively, but Fenton was on the outside all the time. Effectively, Hughes was benched. Like, he wasn't because they got three corners, but when Charvarius Ward comes back, I now assume Hughes is who the playing time is cut from, not Fenton.
Is that your assumption? It was nice for the first time this year. There were a few times when they did throw the ball down the field, and Taylor Heinicke, where there was like fairly decent coverage, right? Last couple weeks when the ball's been thrown, it's been guys that are wide open. Just the fact that once the ball was thrown and the camera panned over, there was someone actually on their man.
A couple times I was a little worried pass interference was going to get called.
I think they got away with one or two, but I don't care. Hey, I'm fine with that.
I think my exact strategy last week was maybe try to like commit more penalties because they won't call all of them.
And this next week is going to be a great test for the defense because it's going to not only be Derrick Henry, but if they're healthy, and A.J. Brown's questionable tonight against the Bills, but there's a chance you go up against Julio Jones and A.J. Brown. You want to talk about two wide receivers that are going to test you. That's a real test to see where the secondary is at as well, because this week, with all due respect to Washington here, Terry McLaurin's the only damn weapon along with Antonio Gibson, who was in and out. But as a wide receiver, after that, it's like Adam Humphries, okay, who had like one catch in the game. I mean, they have no deep threat other than Terry McLaurin. So that was, again, that's what you need to do defensively against that competition. And they did it. And that's a positive sign because hopefully it gets some confidence going. And yeah, these tweaks, I think all of them helped. Initially, they also made the tweak at linebacker that we talked about because last week in the third quarter, Willie Gay got way more snaps than Ben Neiman. They also played a little better in the third quarter against Buffalo. This game, the plan was for Hitchens, Willie Gay, and Bolton to be the three linebackers, starters. Unfortunately, Hitchens went out. I think the reports have been a hyperextended elbow, perhaps MRI today. We shall see. Again, Andy's going to talk here in about 20 minutes right here on 610. But that forced Ben Neiman to get back into having significant snaps. Ben Neiman wore the green dot. He was the guy calling everything out. So that was, unfortunately, a plan that we didn't get to see fully whether or not it worked better because Hitch went down, and so Ben Neiman ended up actually playing a lot of snaps because they had no other choice.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, that's another change you would assume would happen. My only concern with Gay is like, why did he play less snaps than the week before?
Yeah, that was surprising. 19 like this week. Was that 27 a week ago?
Like you said, some of that is personnel, but when there's personnel shifts, that means a different guy is supposed to be off the field. I think some of this is calling the defense. And are you giving Nick Bolton the green dot? One guy, like, to me, this comes down to health. Like, I don't look too hard in there. The second Hitchens went down, and they were already without another linebacker. Neiman is the guy who knows the defense the best, and we damn well know they trust guys who know where they're supposed to stand more than guys who sometimes are guessing. And because Willie Gay's not healthy, fully healthy, they're like, well, if we give him the green dot, then we're really mixing up who's making the calls. So Neiman's just got to play more, and Nick Bolton stays on the field because he's the healthier linebacker. That's what I read into the Willie Gay situation. But it's almost like making changes helps. Like, the Rimmers won, hopefully that's short-term. But on defense, it's almost like making some adjustments to how you're playing makes a difference. They gave Jaren Reed more snaps again, by the way, after a lowered reduction last week. They're letting guys move around a little bit more, and now I'm fascinated to find out, are there more changes coming on the defensive line when Chris Jones is healthy? Or are they going to go back to putting him more on the inside now that Dana is consistently getting at least coverage pressure? Like, I'm not saying he's getting pressure all the time, but when there's coverage, Dana's getting there. Forced fumble this week, and he's causing a little bit of problems.
Yeah, that's the question later in the week when we find out more where Chris Jones is at injury-wise. Has Mike Dana's play allowed you to consider saying, okay, Dana and Frank Clark, and we'll rotate Dana with somebody else, and then we'll move Chris Jones back inside? Or is it just like, no, they're still going to go Chris Jones and Frank Clark, but now you've got Mike Dana who can rotate in and allow maybe Chris Jones on some plays to go inside? Or do you fully move Chris Jones inside? I mean, they might have an option now to some extent because of the play that Mike Dana has brought to the table. There's no doubt about that. Again, we'll head out to Arrowhead coming up in about 20 minutes or so right here on 610 Sports Radio and hear from Andy Reid. We had a conversation on Friday about Mecole Hardman and looking at his numbers and where most of the throws to him had been around the line of scrimmage. Like, the yards per catch were down significantly. I said, hey, look, just...
I kind of missed old Mecole Hardman.
I was like, just stop making mistakes. And he hadn't this year, right? Heading into the game, he hadn't made any mistakes. And so I was like, all right, I can handle this Mecole Hardman. The guy's not making any mistakes. We're not talking about fumbles. We're not talking about any of that. And two things happened in the game against the Washington football team. One, unfortunately, Mecole Hardman
made a mistake,
fumbled the football. So that was a change. That was something that actually happened. And then Mecole Hardman, we were having that discussion on Friday, and I said this at one point. Yeah, just because we had this conversation today. You know he's going to have like a 45-yard touchdown on Sunday, right?
McColl?
Yeah. You know that's happening
great.
Now,
that
right?
That sounds nice.
That's
because he's averaging 9 yards a catch. He can boost that number significantly.
Well, just because this conversation is existing. That's just, you know, that's how this stuff goes. So it wasn't a touchdown, but he had like a 49-yard reception, his longest one of the season. And one of the best catches in McColl Hardman's, dare I say, career here in Kansas City. I mean, considering the route and everything.
Yeah, it was a great throw. It was a great catch. It really was. But that's what I want.
4 catches, 62 yards in this one.
Like
He has these type of games, though, every once in a while. And that, even with all, despite all the criticism the first couple of years of his career, every once in a while he has a game where you can tell he's on, like whether it's the matchup or whatever. Like there's a couple games where you're like he's on, and unfortunately until the fumble he was having a really nice game.
The 8-target game for 5 catches and 55 yards, and last week's game where he had 12 targets, 9 catches for 76 yards. You would think I would prefer that McColl Hardman. I do not. I like that McColl Hardman, the one we just watched, where he has one huge play. They try to get him the ball a few other times, and we move on. I mean, I guess I would prefer that he not fumble the ball if given those choices. It was just like, it was so bizarre that you were both complimenting that he never makes a mistake, so you were fine with that, and you didn't need necessarily the big play. He has a big play and then fumbles the ball.
It was the whole McColl Hardman.
Is that the McColl Hardman experience? Like if you're getting on a roller coaster ride?
It's a lot of it.
Deep pass, mistake.
All right, it's like a smorgasbord. You get a little bit of everything. What are we, in year 3 now? Are you expecting consistency? Are you expecting
the same thing
from week to week? Because there's not a lot of evidence to suggest that's on the table.
I just want deep passes. If he's going to get this number of targets, I just want him to get open deep.
That's what Tyreek Hill does. I mean, you just want two of the same player?
No, well, he's never going to be Tyreek. But yes, I'd like other guys to get deep.
A lesser version of the same player.
Yes, I'd like other guys to get a deep pass.
But that's not what Sammy Watkins was. I mean, he did catch deep balls, but that's not what his role was in the offense.
But also, McColl's not Sammy. Like, to me, the problem is, like, when you try to turn McColl Hardman into Sammy Watkins, it's not the same version. So I pointed this out because we were talking about his yards per catch going into this game were at 9. After this game, they're up to 10. So, improvement, because he had the one big catch in there. Sammy Watkins in his time in Kansas City, 13 yards a catch, 13 yards a catch, 11.5, and this year for Baltimore, 16.2, and his career, 14.6. Like, to me, when you're Sammy Watkins, you only get the 5 targets a game, but they're usually 10 to 15 yards because everybody else does the heavy lifting for you. They've tried to turn him into Sammy Watkins, and it's all just shorter. Everything's compressed. And some of this, I still think, is how they're playing them defensively.
Yep, and that's why it was surprising to see that 49-yard reception. Like, they spread the ball around.
They
spread the ball around.
Deep passes.
Eight different guys caught the ball for Patrick Mahomes on Sunday against Washington, and including Byron Pringle had 3 catches for 55. I mean, Marcus Robinson was involved. Really, everybody was involved.
He had that deep touchdown to seal it.
Yeah, everybody was involved on the offensive side of things. But yeah, McColl Hardman, I mean, these are the types of games that we've seen in the past. The one surprise, if we're being honest, was Josh Gordon. all week, you know, like Andy, there was an exact comment from Andy on Friday, maybe? He mentioned that, we had against the Bills planned 20 snaps, but we had to go up tempo. That's why I only got the 9 snaps. So, yeah, I'd like to get him some more work. And Andy Reid, if you want to get him more work, that would be you who would get him more opportunity. And then in this game,
when he prefaces it like somehow it's his decision.
In this game, Josh Gordon, one snap, I think. I think it was like one snap or something.
Do you think it was because Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce were hurt and he just wanted to keep things easy for Mahomes? Guys who knew where they were going, not guessing what Josh Gordon might do? Because Kelce was on and off the field multiple times, and Hill really was just gone for a quarter and then came back and was whatever they gave him at halftime.
I want some of that.
Worked.
You want some of that?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel
Your foot.
I don't care what it is. It worked. Whatever they did at halftime, whatever masseuse hit, it didn't matter. Like, he was a tremendous player in the second half of that football game. But I just, it's the Josh Gordon stuff is, it could have just been him playing with us, but it could have been just based on gameplay and the injuries. You get through about a month and then stop expecting any kind of increased workload from Gordon.
Well,
if we get a month into it, he's 11 snaps a game, then we're done. We're done having this conversation.
When people were lauding him, like people within the organization, they were just saying he looks so impressive, like he's such a great athlete.
Great shape, all of it.
You get 2 or 3 weeks in and all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, how much of the playbook do you know? Not very much? Then you're not playing.
Yeah, it was just surprising because they had 20 ready to go. They claim 20 ready to go against the Bills, and their reasoning for not getting the 20 was, well, they were going hurry up, and he wasn't ready for that. In this game, like, oh, we'd like to get him some more work, and then he got significantly less. So it's gamesmanship to a certain extent. Do they not trust him in blocking situations? That might be part
of it.
He's
not very good as a blocker.
I think that might be part of it. Thinking of Sammy Watkins, the one biggest thing that people always forget about Sammy Watkins, he was a very good blocker as a wide receiver. Say what you will about that. That was an asset that people probably overlook at times for what Sammy Watkins did bring to the table. And so I wonder if that's maybe why he struggled to get on the field as well. Jody Fortson had an unbelievable catch in this game on Sunday, and then the worst possible thing happens to him. Gets carted off. Not even just carted off. Like, you hear the type of injury, and it's not like any injury is bad, but it's an Achilles injury. You're like, you got to be kidding me. Because that's one, unfortunately, you know, it's an unknown of where it's been. Think about his story. We've had a lot of fun talking about Jody Fortson since training camp. Jody Fortson joined us 2 weeks ago. We've
dressed up as a Nutcracker.
Jody Fortson's become a fairly decent part of the show at times because of his story.
You still have a pending Jody Fortson bet?
We do. That just flat out sucked yesterday because he made a catch that I was thinking we would see from Josh Gordon at some point this year. That catch that Jody Fortson made for 27 yards was one we haven't seen from a Chiefs player in a long time. Go up and get the ball for Patrick Mahomes. Everybody else, big plays, but that was a play that we hadn't seen very often from a Chiefs player, and you see that, and you start to get really excited about what he continued to get more targets, and you're thinking, all right, maybe there's an opportunity here. 6 games, 5 targets, 5 receptions, 2 touchdowns, 3 first downs, and then non-contact, gets carted off the field.
And I think that it's important, because I don't want this to be, you know, like, it's important to celebrate the things you're talking about.
That's right.
Let's be happy about what Jody Fortson has done.
It's a celebration. This is a guy, I don't know if you guys heard, he used to be a wide receiver, dedicated himself this offseason, added weight, came back as a tight end against all odds. Not only did he make the 53-man roster, not only did he catch not one, but 2 touchdowns, he made the most impressive catch of the season for the Chiefs. Sad that his season has come to an end. But Jody Fortson is to be celebrated for what he accomplished. Should I give it to him one last time?
I think so.
Jody Fortson!
Jody Fortson.
Honestly, he was an incredible story this year. Like, it was fun seeing what that became for part of this year.
Guys have come back from Achilles before. It's obviously an uphill battle, but guys have come back. And honestly, because of the story, like, if there's anybody that is going to go and push the limits of this thing, it is going to be Jody Fortson.
Wait, considering he's going to give up now after all that he just went through the Nick Boyd
exactly.
round?
Exactly.
He's not going to go through all that just to not show back up on a football field?
Men than him.
So wish him the best, obviously, because that just flat out sucked to see that. I think everybody's on the same page there. And then the text line says, congrats, Cody and Gold. You guys adopt Jody Fortson as your Rudy icon. Bring him on for an interview and in the very game that week. No, it's 2 weeks ago. It wasn't the week. We didn't have him on last week.
We had Darrell Williams this week.
He tears his an Achilles. Show curse is back.
I think we should invite Jody Fortson to join this show once a week for the remainder of the season. Like, it'd be nice if
I'm sure that's going to happen.
Well, you don't know. You don't think he wants to come on this show? He did
Nick
good things
sounds very
this year.
Confident. I'm with Nick.
Who says no?
I don't know what it is. Something tells me that will not be happening, Cody.
The people that you ask. Whoever it is that you reach out and ask, those are the people that will say no. I would love it.
It's a bummer.
I would love it.
Become a staple of this show. He did more things than I ever thought possible this year.
Thanks for the Jody Fortson alarm. Fell asleep in my car during my lunch break. I am now wide awake. That's what it's for. Wake you up on a Monday.
It's just such a disappointing end for his season. Because as you pointed out, he has been thrown at more than either of us thought.
Well, yeah.
Over the course of the season.
Yes.
He was going to score 6 touchdowns this year.
I don't know that, but yeah.
Well, I don't know why you would doubt that now. He was on pace for that.
Yeah.
It was on pace
that catch, though, was honestly, that's the type of catch I expect to see from Josh Gordon at some point this season.
You know, which time we spent talking about, like, Byron Pringle? He was essentially on pace for that amount of yardage that Byron Pringle's ever had in his career, but way more touchdowns than typical. Like, he was a good story this year. And because Blake Bell's hurt, now we're down to just
text line says, going to be hilarious when whoever still spins the wheel when Josh Gordon doesn't get more touchdowns. That is, I didn't want to bring it up today because obviously we're bummed out about the Fortson injury, but there is still a pending bet out there involving Nick and I, involving Jody Fortson and Josh Gordon. I'm giving you one out. There's an opportunity to get out of it if you want.
Why?
The bet was
who
would have more touchdowns, and I don't. And this is not how any of us wanted this thing to go.
Jody Fortson's really going to do this right now?
Text line brought it up.
You would never doubt Jody Fortson.
Jody Fortson has
more than
Jody
Josh
Fortson
Gordon
has
ever
two
get.
Touchdowns. Josh Gordon has none. He's only got like 18 snaps on the season. Do you want out of the bet?
So are you still confident? Well, Jody Fortson is guaranteed to finish the season at two touchdowns.
Correct.
So really, Gold wants out of the bet is what he's telling.
No, I'm giving him a chance. Do you feel confident that that's a good enough number? Or do you think Josh Gordon ends up with three somehow after only having 18 snaps the first two times he's been active? I'm just asking. Do you want out of the bet because of the injury or not? I'm willing to let you out.
Don't start doubting your guy now.
Can I have the show to think about it?
No, this is it.
Wait,
right here.
What?
This is a one-off
What the
offer?
Hell is this? Yep, gun to my head, I have to... What are you, some sort of two-bit gangster? Give me some time to think about it. I got to crunch the numbers because...
This is a real Waffle House egg situation all
think,
over again.
Because mm-hmm. I do think Josh Gordon gets at least a touchdown.
Okay.
But he's got to get two.
He's got to get three for me to lose.
And more importantly, he
Two's
has to
push.
Beat the great man that
right
is
now,
Jody Fortson.
Right now, he's not even getting on the field.
He's not, is he? Nope.
Stick with the bet.
Because I kind of forgot about him at one point. I forgot about him, looked
fine.
At the sideline all
think,
of a sudden.
I'll let you think for a little bit. Just we'll check in before we get off the air today at 2 o'clock. Coming up next, though, Andy Reid exclusively here on 610 Sports Radio. We'll perhaps get a little more insight on what he thought of Mike Rimmers playing right tackle, some of the injuries. Andy Reid exclusively on 610.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.